Hitting that halfway point, it's a Wednesday edition of the Sports Rush. Buckle up, get ready for it. I am Brett Rump, Caleb Hatch in the producer's seat, and we've got Justin Kenny coming up about 30 minutes from now. Of course, we're going to talk high school football. The best part about having all this rain today is we're going to just basically, like squeezing the sponge, the giant sponge in the sky. We're just going to squeeze all the rain out of it, dry it all up, so that on Friday we have another beautiful night for high school football. You know, we have been blessed so far this year, knock on wood, because every Friday night has had near ideal conditions. And even though it's cold, it's rainy today, we are supposed to be into the 70s on Friday with sunny skies as we make the trip down to Norwell for the East Noble Knights and the Norwell Knights. It's a battle of knights coming up this Friday on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM as we kind of break from the SAC to check out the NE8 this Friday night. Of course, I'll have play-by-play coverage with Shannon Griffith right after the Parkview Sports Medicine High School Football Tailgate pregame show. Jim, Shannon, and Doot will get you all set for all the games in our area this Friday night. And then after the game, join Caleb and I at the Wayndale Pizza Hut. Scores, highlights, coaches' interviews, and so much more as we'll wrap up our 7 hours of high school football coverage with the Indiana Physical Therapy post-game show live from the Pizza Hut at Wayndale. It's another big Friday night of high school football coming your way, so we'll talk to Justin Kenny about what he expects from high school football. SAC matchups coming up this week. Carroll, Southside, Lewers taking on Northrop. Now, I got to think that I'm going to have a pretty good week with my high school football picks, and again, maybe knock on wood. Because this is one of the weeks where some of the heavyweights and the top teams are playing some of the bottom teams. Now, Dwenger, they'll take on Concordia. Concordia's been struggling. Snyder had the impressive win last week. They'll host Wayne. You have to think on paper that that one should be a mismatch. And then you've got Homestead Northside. Northside has struggled, really. They've kind of gone downhill from the beginning of the season when they had that great game against Snyder, lost it in a heartbreaker, and it seems to have slipped each and every week for Northside. Now they've got the Spartans coming in and an angry Homestead Spartans team after losing last week on their home field to the Snyder Panthers. So shouldn't be anybody on upset alert. I don't think there should be an upset alert, but we're going to find out if Justin Kenny's got his eye on any of those games as being a potential upset. He'll join us coming up at 4:35. And in our next hour, time to talk St. Francis Cougars football. And it's time to talk Cougars being 1-0. They got the win over Judson to start things off last Saturday. We'll talk to the coach, Kevin D., Coach Donnelly. He'll join us coming up at 5:20 this afternoon to not only talk about how things went in the opening weekend, but what they're looking forward to as they move on to this Saturday. 46862, that's how you connect with us. Questions, comments, suggestions. By the way, after we heard that Matt Nagy said, Andy Dalton is our starter. He's going to start if he's healthy enough to play. Today, we find out Justin Fields is going to start for the Bears coming up this Sunday at Cleveland. He'll be making his starting debut in a state that he starred in college, and it's because, yes, Andy Dalton, his status uncertain. He's probably not going to be able to practice. He's got the bone bruise in his knee, which my guess is that is something that you may be able to play through, but it may be extremely painful. And so they've made the decision that Justin Fields will get the start. This is perfect. Let Justin Fields start a game where the Bears are heavy underdogs anyway. You really can't lose in this situation. If you don't win the game, Justin Fields starts and he doesn't win the game, well, the Bears were expected to lose to Cleveland on the road at Cleveland anyway. But if he somehow goes out there and wins the game and he makes plays that lead the Bears to the upset win in Cleveland, oh, then there's a quarterback controversy in Chicago because Matt Nagy's already said Andy Dalton is still going to be the starter, and as soon as he's healthy, he will be back starting for the Chicago Bears. But it's a chance to see what Justin Fields can do. The injury leads to opportunity, and Justin Fields will get his coming up this Saturday. Also, other quarterback news around the league. Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa has fractured ribs. Not just bruised ribs, which was the initial report. He has fractured ribs, is in a lot of pain, and he has already been ruled out by Brian Flores for this Sunday's game. And why does it matter? Why do we care about what's happening in Miami? Because the starter who will take over for Tua is Jacoby Brissett. And the Colts will be visiting the Dolphins next week. So if Tua can't return after just a one-week absence, the Colts will be running into old friend Jacoby Brissett, who will be taking the snaps for the Miami Dolphins next week. Injuries, really the storyline right now in the NFL. There's so many of them. Ben Roethlisberger is dealing with some kind of a pectoral issue in the muscle. And, you know, it's time, Ben. It really is time. I mean, if there's a guy that has never been maybe the poster child for being in the greatest of shape, it might be Ben Roethlisberger. And he's kind of the anti-Tom Brady. He's a guy that shows up. His weight varies consistently every year. You never know if you'll get a thinner, fitter Ben Roethlisberger or a guy that maybe is carrying a few extra pounds. I just think that Roethlisberger's in a situation in Pittsburgh where it is time to probably move on. Now, another nagging injury. Last year, we saw after he'd had the arm trouble the year before with the elbow. Last year, we saw him look pretty good early in the season, but faded quickly as the season went on and the weather got colder. And I don't know if that was an effect of the weather on the arm or if it is just, again, getting through a long season, especially as you start to get older. What's Roethlisberger, 37? Somewhere in that area? We'll get you there, Caleb. One of those buttons will turn that mic on for you. Trust me, I did not do this to you. I did not come in here and like sabotage the studio. No mic? Okay, just sign language to everybody so they know what you're trying to say. Because, hello, does this thing work?
Hello, there we go.
Hey,
there we go.
We got it figured out. All right, Caleb is back, ladies and gentlemen. Now I don't even remember exactly what the topic
37,
was.
37, 38, Roethlisberger. Yeah, he's got to be up there. This has got to be his last season, right? I can't.
I mean, you don't
see.
Want him to go out oft injured, bad year. You know, the toughest thing for a professional athlete is to know when it's time, because you never want to go out when you're all of a sudden obviously old and broken.
You know, Brett Favre.
Yeah. When you just keep extending it and extending it and extending it, and it doesn't go so well. And the toughest thing is nobody wants to leave while they still feel they're competitive either. And so it's very tough. You know, Drew Brees, I think, handled it perfectly. I think the timing for Drew Brees was exactly right. He was still competitive, but you could tell he wasn't the same quarterback that he had been 2 or 3 years earlier. But he wasn't becoming a disgrace to himself by trying to hang on too long. And at this point, Ben Roethlisberger's just got to hang it up. I mean, it's just not there anymore. The nagging injuries, the question of commitment, I think is there for Ben Roethlisberger. The tough thing is Pittsburgh doesn't necessarily have the quarterback to just hand the football to. They're not prepared like a San Francisco or maybe the Chicago Bears, where they've got their quarterback in waiting. But Roethlisberger, we don't know what his status is going to be for this week, but Mike Tomlin mentioned that he is dealing with an injury, wasn't practicing, and so he was out. Also, with the Tua situation, Jacoby Brissett to start. Let me ask you, Caleb, because this was actually the topic I was going to bring up, but your mic wasn't working. If you're the Colts and you're going down to Miami, which quarterback would you rather face? To me, this may be for Dolphins fans a step down, but as a Colts fan or someone that would pull for the Colts to win this game down in Miami, I'm almost concerned that this will result in a step up for the Dolphins.
I guess I'd rather face the quarterback who's injured, personally. I mean, because they're going to have, you know.
Because he's injured, or would you rather face Tua if both were healthy?
Because he's injured. I mean, I'd rather face the injured quarterback.
The guy who might be limited.
Yeah. And now if both are healthy, I think I'd also want to face Tua because Brissett spent some time with the Colts, obviously, and he would know more about the Colts playbook than Tua.
He would. I think he would identify defensively what they were doing. I think, remember, he ran the scout team against the Colts, so he would know when he lines up against this first-team defense exactly what the alignment is, probably tipping off what the coverage is going to be. And, you know, Jacoby Brissett's a quality backup. He's not a starting quarterback. He doesn't earn that type of position. But as far as a backup, he's as small a step down from your starter as you might find around the NFL. There's not too many where you could go to your backup and feel like you don't lose a whole lot. I think the Bears may feel that way with Dalton, or at least we feel that way about the Bears with Dalton to Fields. Still don't know about San Francisco.
Can I point out that Justin Fields will start a game before Trey Lance?
That's true. That's true. That was one of our preseason subjects. Who was going to start a game first? Well, we
just
now know.
I'll just add that check in my column. So.
You are. That is that a is that a vending machine?
No,
snack?
No.
No, there was not a vending machine snack.
No, okay. That's just bragging rights. That's
just
how I
just
want to
make sure I don't owe you anything for that.
No,
one. But you did get it. You did get it right. All right. So we'll talk more Colts football coming up here after the break. Time now for our weekly edition of the High School Football Power Rankings. Let's get ready for it. After an interesting week 5, where you had a couple of big teams going head-to-head, I've got a big shuffle in this week's ranking, and we start at number 10 with the Bishop Dwenger Saints. I have had to slide Bishop Dwenger down quite a bit in my High School Football Power Rankings because they didn't answer the call. They got challenged back-to-back by Homestead and Carroll. They lost both those games. So on a 2-game losing streak, I've got to put Bishop Dwenger all the way down to number 10, where they're in danger of slipping out of my top 10 this week. At number 9, the Eastside Blazers. They just keep rolling. Laban Davis, he's not going to have a bad week. This guy is just so dynamic. Eastside at number 9. At number 8, the Norwell Knights. Everybody expects that Norwell is eventually going to stumble or they'll be exposed because they all think this team is not as talented as last year's team. But it's just win, baby, and that's all Norwell's been doing. They come in with a 4-1 record to the showdown against East Noble this Friday night. We will be there with our coverage on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Norwell, number 8. At number 7, the Adams Central Flying Jets. Why would I put a 1A program at number 7? If they go head-to-head against Dwenger, they'd have no chance. You know what? I try to balance this out, and I try to look at how good this team is versus other 1A programs. And yes, they probably would go against 4A, 5A, and 6A, and they would struggle. But it's such a talented team. They deserve the number 7 spot. All they're doing is blowing everybody out. And they've got a big one coming up Friday against county rival South Adams. Number 7 this week, the Adams Central Flying Jets. At number 6... the Homestead Spartans. They take a little bit of a slip this week after losing by a field goal to the Snyder Panthers. Homestead now at number 6 in a rare position. Out of contention for an SAC race. Remember, they've won the last 2, but with 2 losses, there would be an awful lot that would have to happen for Homestead to have a chance to claim SAC title number 3 in a row. At number 5... leapfrogging Homestead, I've got the Snyder Panthers. Snyder, we didn't know really how good this team was because we thought they might have a leaky defense. But talking to Coach Tippmann, he said it's a new scheme. It's taken time for these kids to kind of pick it up. And he was really proud with how well they played it and executed it against Homestead. So I'm going to give Snyder the benefit of the doubt that this defense and the problems they had in it were not personnel, but were trying to learn a new scheme. So the Panthers at number 5. At number 4, the East Noble Knights. They had to slip because of the loss to Leo, but they don't slip much. That was one heck of a football game up in Kendallville last week. So the Knights are at number 4. At number 3, the Carroll Chargers. Between Carroll and Leo, take your pick. Or Lures, I should say. Between Carroll and Lures, take your pick. Who's playing better right now in the Summit Athletic Conference? These two met in week number one. Lures got the touchdown win. And since then, Carroll has done nothing but win. And they've done so pretty impressively. Carroll has always seemed to struggle defensively, but they've improved that defense this year. And with Jeff Becker at quarterback and an improved defense, that is trouble for opponents. Carroll, number three. At number two, the Leo Lions. East Noble showed us you can put up points against Leo. Nobody had really been doing much of it all year long, but the Leo Lions answered the call. After a furious East Noble rally, tied the game at 32 late, Leo took the ball right down the field, scored the go-ahead touchdown, and then held on to defeat East Noble. So Leo jumps up to number two. And at number one, our undefeated SAC leader, the Bishop Lures Knights. Still unbeaten, one of the few teams in our area that can say that. And they've been impressive each and every week so far. At 5-0, the Bishop Lures Knights are still at number one. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk some Colts football. Also, NBA. Hey, it's getting all started here with the opening of training camp. So there's some news around the NBA that we'll talk about. Also, coming up in our next hour, it's Coach D, Kevin Donnelly from St. Francis. He'll join us coming up at 5:20. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch, getting you through this rainy Wednesday afternoon. We're here until 6 o'clock, and then taking over the airwaves tonight, it's the Purdue and Indiana Coaches Shows. We'll have the Jeff Brom Show first at 6:05, and then at 7:05, it's Inside IU Football. Of course, it's the new time for IU football. Now the Tin Caps baseball's done, we can move it up from its 11 o'clock time slot to 7:05. Both shows will air live right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. 6:05 for the Jeff Brom Show, 7:05 Inside IU Football with Tom Allen and Don Fisher right here tonight on the radio. So Colts back at practice today. Wednesday, of course, the first day of the mighty three-day work week when the team is starting to prep for the big game coming up this Sunday against Tennessee, and the Colts prepping with tons of question marks. You know, it's almost health watch this week is what we've got to do. We've got to watch the status of Carson Wentz. We've got to look at the health of Xavier Rhodes. You know, when you go up against Tennessee and you're going to face guys like Julio Jones, you've got to have your best corners. Xavier Rhodes, what did you say, Caleb? Was Xavier Rhodes a participant at all in practice today as far as the injury report for the Colts?
Did not practice.
So Rhodes still not practicing. Braden Smith was still not practicing as of today?
Correct.
Now, today is also commonly a rest day, but I don't know that you give rest to guys that have been out injured. I think if you're ready to start testing it, you at least can go limited, which they did do with Paris Campbell. So maybe Paris Campbell is working his way back. But the big question about Carson Wentz, I can't imagine after watching what happened to him with Aaron Donald rolling on that ankle that Carson Wentz is going to be available to go on Sunday. The Colts, when they talked to Frank Reich a couple of days ago, didn't want to rule out that Carson Wentz might be playing, but no go at practice today for Carson Wentz. And they were talking about he wanted to go out and kind of test it. But he was a non-participant in practice today, according to what you had told me, correct?
Correct.
That's not good news. That probably means Jacob Eason is going to be forced to play, and that the Colts, of course, you know, it's not a terrible thing that Jacob Eason gets all the first team reps again this week. You might as well let him have it. But here's the thing, and we've talked about this a couple of times, Caleb. Carson Wentz is not getting many reps through practices with the first team. It seems like somebody's always out. Right now you've got T.Y. Hilton, of course, who's out. But then you've got Paris Campbell, who was out last week. Carson Wentz at practice. But then you've got Braden Smith not playing. You've got, you know, as we said, Campbell was out. Pascal ended up not practicing today due to illness. So it just seems like the offense can't get any kind of chemistry or continuity because there is always somebody that has been missing. And a lot of times that guy that was missing was Carson Wentz. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line 46862. All right, so I wanted to look at some of the top bets this week, and I decided, you know what, it's been a while since we've played this, and usually because I'm already on my app checking out all the lines for this week. Well, I haven't gotten on the app to look at the lines this week, so when I thought I'm going to start looking at some of my favorite bets for the week, I decided, stop yourself, Brett. We're going to have some fun with this. We're going to play Guess the Line, where I can take a shot at guessing the line of some of the popular games coming up this weekend. Caleb, you've got the games ready. You've got the line. So let's go with Guess the Line.
All right. Game number one. We'll start in college football. There are a handful of games, and then we'll get to the NFL. First one, I think this is the highlight game of the weekend. Notre Dame, Wisconsin at Soldier Field.
I got to be honest, I think I know this line.
Yeah, I figured you did.
I only know it because in doing the research for Notre Dame and looking at the matchup, I think if I remember correctly, and then so I'm not going to take credit for this one, Caleb, because if I do know the line, I admit it, that I know the line and I don't try to play. I'm not trying to fool anybody, but I think, if I remember correctly, it was a 5.5-point line. Is that right?
Good start. 1-0.
Well, again, I'm not going to take credit, but is it 5.5?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I knew that one. So that one doesn't really count. I mean, I'm not. I don't want to win on things that I already know. I want to guess the line, not know the line.
Here's one you definitely will not know.
Okay.
Texas A&M, Arkansas. This one being played at Jerry's World at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas.
Neutral site game, huh? This is interesting. I don't know because I don't know exactly what Texas A&M's record is. I was pretty impressed with Arkansas and what they did with Texas. I'm going to say Arkansas is favored, and I think Arkansas is probably favored by 6.5.
You're very close. In fact, if I can get this to load. Uh-oh. Computer issues. Okay, there we go. Oh
my gosh, your mic, the computer.
Yeah. it was wanting to do an update. Sorry. You said Arkansas favored 6.5?
6.5.
Uh-oh. A&M actually favored by 5.5.
Really?
So got it flipped.
Wow.
So,
on a neutral site. Now, I would say A&M, with that crowd they get, that I would see them favored on their home field. But I'm surprised on a neutral site that they're favored. Okay.
All right, one last college game, and I think this one's of interest. Clemson, North Carolina State in Raleigh, so it's a road game. This one I think will be very, very interesting to watch.
This
is Saturday afternoon.
Line too. Boy, you're testing me with some of these because I think what you've done is you've gone and found some that you know will stump me instead of making it, you know, easy like Big Ten football or something. You've tried to find some that will stump me because you're handpicking a couple of tough ones here. And I can just tell in the way you presented that game that this is going to be one of those that's tough to pick. Clemson hasn't been all that impressive. They have struggled a little bit, especially offensively, where it just doesn't seem to click so far. Under the quarterback, I'm going to let you say his name.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Yeah, that guy. I'm going to say there's no way North Carolina State could be favored because there's public money that will just bet Clemson regardless. So I don't think there's any possible way Vegas puts North Carolina State as the favorite. But I think it could be closer than people think. I will say Clemson minus 2.5. I missed another one.
Clemson's actually favored by 9.5 in this
really?
One. Which I find kind of
it's tough for
hard
them
to
score 9.5 points.
Yeah. So that's a look at some of the key college football
matchups. I went the
wrong
direction. See, I was trying to outguess you, Caleb. I knew that there was a reason you picked this game, this like random game. I knew there was a reason.
I picked it because I think it's a game that's under the radar for the weekend.
Well, you know, you picked it because you knew there'd be no way I would say Clemson was favored by 9.5 on the road. So, okay.
All right, let's
get to something like NFL football.
Yeah, we'll get to NFL.
I feel a little humiliated right now.
So we'll start with Thursday night football, Panthers-Texans.
Oh, This should not be difficult. It's got to be Panthers. And the line, oh, man, I would not be surprised. You've got a backup quarterback for the Texans. I would say this one would not surprise me if it's around a touchdown. So I'm going to say Carolina 7.5. Ah, thank you.
You got it to
eight. It took
eight.
You a while to do the math
Carolina
there,
by
Caleb.
Eight. Yeah, this is too much math for me. I don't think
I
you understand.
I got to be within a point and a half to get it.
Point
and
a half. That's a lot
I
of math.
I saw you. You looked at it, then you looked back, and you looked back, and you looked back, and then finally it's like, okay, that would be the bell.
All
okay.
Right, here we go.
I feel
here's
better an, now. Here,
here's
much
another
better
one.
Mood.
Colts-Titans at Nissan Stadium on Sunday.
You know what's funny is I should know this. I don't.
I would think this line will be in flux, though, over the next couple of days.
I don't know what the line is. I think I could come pretty close. Just knowing what the NFL doesn't have as big a range as college football. It doesn't swing quite as much. So usually you can kind of look at it and say, okay, that's going to be one of these games. I would say right now, and this is not my final answer, but I would say right now it's probably Tennessee between 4 and 5. That's not my final answer. If the word comes out on Carson Wentz not playing, I think this game's going to go 5.5 to 6.5, maybe even higher. I will say right now, I'll stick with what I said. I said 4 to 5. I'm going to say 4.5.
It is right at 5 at the moment.
Okay. Oddly, I did not know what the line was. I did look at it a couple of weeks ago, and I think it was like 3 or 3.5. But I've not looked at it for so long. The line clearly was going to move with the situation of the Colts being 0-2 and Tennessee getting that win last week at Seattle. So it's Colts at 5. I don't know, Caleb. I don't even know if I feel confident taking 5 points.
No. All right, the Sunday afternoon game, Bucks and Rams.
Last one. I need to end
strong.
That's
the highlight game of the week.
Bucks-Rams, wow. Where's it at?
SoFi Stadium, so in L.A.
A Rams home game. Rams will be favored. Usually they say it's a touchdown if you've got a flip-em game, and I think this is a flip-em game, or not a touchdown, a field goal. I think this is going to be Rams 2.5.
Just got it. My apologies.
What?
My apologies. Tampa Bay is actually favored by 1.5.
Really?
Which is surprising.
That will be a pick'em game by the time the game kicks off. I just think that at Los Angeles, I think that will be a pick'em game. All right, there you go. Guess the line. We're going to take a break. Justin Kinney is going to join us on the other side from OutsideTheHuddle.net and OPS. We're going to talk to Justin about what's happened so far, high school football, highlights from last Friday night's East Noble Leo game, and what to look forward to this week with high school football. Justin Kinney joins us next right here on The Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Hard to believe we are already halfway through the high school football season. If you want to count the game that every high school football team gets because of the IHSAA state tournament, there's 10 total games, 9 in the regular season, plus everybody will play at least one in the tournament. And we're 5 games in, so I guess we are at the halfway point. Even if you don't pass math, you could probably do that one. Speaking of not passing math, we are joined now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline by Justin Kinney from OPS. Justin, how are you?
Well, Brad, how are you?
I'm doing well. Of course, Justin with OutsideTheHuddle.net and OPS joining us to talk high school football. Justin, you had a chance to see it in person. Heck of a game up in Kendallville last week. It looked like it was over and done. It was a rout. Leo was going to win big in the head-to-head matchup with East Noble. How did that game turn?
Well, I think the halftime break really came at a great time for East Noble because they were incapable of slowing down Leo offensively. The second half, they were able to come out. They made some adjustments, put a little bit more pressure close to the line of scrimmage defensively, was able to get a better push and really free up their linebackers to then make plays. And created a couple turnovers, which were big, and able to tie that game up. But, you know, the resiliency of Leo to blow a 20-point lead and on the road at Kendallville, and you know it's a difficult place to play, and that place was rocking. And for Leo to really refocus, get re-energized, and make the plays down the stretch to win showed a lot about Leo, and I think we learned a lot about East Noble that I feel like, you know, they are advertised as well. And I think we can all agree it's inevitable that they'll meet again come the playoffs.
Absolutely, both in the Class 4A sectionals, so somewhere down that path. Of course, I'll just tell you now, the ping pong balls are going to make them meet up in the very first round. I'm so convinced of that. We'll see.
Can't wait till the Monday after the draw because I know what I'm getting for Brett Rump.
I will be going off about it once again until they fix it and start to seed this thing. I'm still not going to be happy. No matter what the draw is, I won't be happy about it. All right, so let's talk about what else happened. We had two matchups in the SAC of one-loss teams, and Carroll, very impressive in what they did to Dwenger, and Snyder with a surprise at Homestead. Which of these games, I guess, gave you the biggest surprise?
I feel like Snyder beating Homestead was the bigger surprise to me, and maybe not necessarily that they did it, was how they did it. In holding Homestead scoreless in the first half, they end up surrendering just a pair of touchdowns, and that was a Snyder defense that at least through the first 2 weeks of the season looked absolutely atrocious at times, with missed assignments and confused guys in the secondary. And we were kind of wondering whether that, you know, de facto bye week that came from COVID, you know, canceling that Snyder Southside game would help or hurt Snyder. And it definitely helped them. They were able to figure some things out defensively and rest and regroup. And now all of a sudden we look at a Panthers team that, other than Bishop Lewers, is the team that controls its own destiny in the SAC, sitting with one loss and that week 9 showdown at Lewers Field, potentially deciding the SAC in the final week of the regular season.
It could get them within a half game of Lewers, Justin.
As far as I understand it, and I don't understand why the SAC just doesn't come out and say, okay, this is what we have, because, you know, people are just going to discuss this every week from here to week 9. I understand that the best idea or the easiest thing to do that's being considered is just that's a 2-0 forfeit, Snyder wins. It's made all the more easy with the fact that Southside was the team that had to bow out of that matchup. You just give it a 2-0 victory for Snyder, count it as a win, and let's move on. I don't know why that decision hasn't been made. I think the SAC, quite frankly, is waiting, hoping they don't have to make the decision, whereas it just kind of leaves us all questioning what's exactly going to happen if it does indeed come into play.
All right, so this Friday night, when we look at the SAC, it's the top half of the conference versus the bottom half of the conference. You've got Carroll at Southside, Dwenger at Concordia. Northrop will be at Lewers Field to take on the first-place Bishop Lewers Knights. Wayne visits Spooler Stadium to take on Snyder, and Homestead is at Northside. Who needs to be on upset alert? Is there any game that you're watching that you think that could really throw a wrinkle into this?
You know, it's tough, Brett, because you look at it and you want to try to get excited about one of these games, but it's kind of difficult. And, you know, do we have an upset threat anywhere? You know, to me, I don't see one. And, you know, we can take this in one of two ways. Either, you know, it's just one of those weeks where we hope we have some drama, or we're looking at this and going, man, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to play 9 conference games in 9 weeks in the SAC? So some of these upper echelon teams could step out of the conference, you know, here or there and play some tough games and tough opponents. You know, wouldn't we kill for, you know, after what we saw last week in Kendallville, an East Noble playing a team in the SAC or a Leo playing a team in the SAC? So, you know, yes, it's one of those weeks where some crazy things could happen, but it's one of those weeks also that reminds me that, man, we're really locked in with some of these games that we expect to be lopsided matchups. And what could be if we could see the SAC after actually modernize itself and really play with the schedule, play with the potentially a division format, and really allow us to see some of these teams play some of the better teams, not only in Northeast Indiana, but also the northern half of the state.
Of course, when we saw Homestead and Carroll jump into the SAC in football a few years back, there was a lot of focus on Carroll and Homestead now being part of the SAC. One of the things that happened in the domino effect when the NE8 was created is the Leo Lions ended up as part of that conference. Could you imagine if we went back in time and Leo was still in the ACAC, what some of the scores would be right now?
I mentioned that to somebody as I was leaving Kendallville on Friday night. And like, can you, similar to what you said, can you imagine Leo still being in the ACAC? So, you know, we saw the surrounding counties kind of modernize a little bit, you know, the domino effect like we see in college football. Homestead and Carroll leave, so Leo moves up and Huntington North moves in and stuff like that. So, yeah, the way Leo has come about and continued to grow since then, the Northeast State has been tremendous. It's been great for that league, and it's been great for the ACAC that they're not in there anymore.
All right, so I mentioned this, that one of the things with East Noble Norwell, which is going to be our featured game, if you wonder, after I gave you that SAC schedule, you shouldn't have doubts as to why we're going to the NE8 this week for our game of the week. But when I look at this matchup, Justin, here's the thing about East Noble. With kids, high school kids, you get so emotionally engaged and hyped, and you've got a game circled on your calendar, and it's Leo coming to your place. And you stage this big rally, and then you're heartbroken. It's such a range of emotions. And I'm like, it's got to be draining mentally. Maybe not as much physically, although it was a very physical game. But mentally, you've got to be able to bounce back, refocus, not think about the rematch that's going to be coming in a few weeks, but think about an opponent that you've got to go play that has had a very respectable start at 4-1. What do you expect to see from the Knights as they visit the Knights?
I expect, you know, an East Noble win, but I could expect it, you know, just to be a little bit closer than maybe people think and expect. And I think part of that is the emotions of high school kids. And we see it in college football, too, those trap games in between two big games or after an emotional game, win or lose the week before, particularly with a rival. So, and I think, you know, on the other side, we saw a Norwell team that we felt, okay, when they played Leo, maybe that could be a bit of a closer game than expected. And we are all surprised to see Leo absolutely dominate Norwell 41-9. This gives Norwell another shot, right, against an upper echelon team in its conference to make a point of emphasis that, hey, they're a competitor in the NEA. And they did it last year against East Nell, beating them. So, in that respect, I feel like Norwell's got something to prove. East Noble does as well. And the hope, at least, Brett, is that you see a competitive football game, because Norwell was anything but earlier this year against Leo.
You got to think a game plan when you go against East Noble is, first of all, you've got to take away the running game of Carrico. I mean, he's a big, strong back. You've got to take his part of the game out of the equation. If you are successful in being able to do that, then you have to hope that Xander Brazel ends up making a mistake somewhere and you can take advantage of perhaps a turnover or two. To me, that's almost, you have to put it in the hands of Brazel and see if he can make the plays. But man, if he does, he's got some really good weapons on the outside.
Yeah, he does, with Rowan Zolman and Nick Munson in particular. And, you know, I felt like one thing that maybe East Noble didn't do last week was utilize Rowan Zolman more, because he was in single coverage a lot against Leo. And, you know, part of it, I think, was because Leo was able to get pressure on Brazel and he wasn't able to extend the field and get the ball downfield. Can Norwell do that this week? Because that's going to really dictate the way this game is played, is if Xander Brazel and that offense can really strike and get some chunk plays. If they're forced to grind out some yardage on the ground, maybe Norwell can create a couple fumbles and potentially a couple short fields. So I think that's the emphasis for Norwell. Is it Luke Graff, you know, back in that secondary, is one of the better two-way players in the area? Does he get the assignment on Zolman? And can that defensive front, that's not as big and not as talented as Leo, be able to get a push against East Noble and really create some havoc in the offensive backfield, similar to what we saw the Lions do a week ago?
The highlight game in the Allen County Athletic Conference, it comes down once again to the Battle of Adams County. Last week, we saw South Adams take their hits against Monroe Central. Is that kind of a precursor to what we can expect this week when they have to take on Adams Central?
The hope is, Brett, that this game between rivals is closer than the feared result is. Adams Central is just a machine right now. And I know Heritage isn't South Adams, but just the way they absolutely destroyed the Patriots last week was indicative of just how great this team is in the ACAC. And quite frankly, they owe South Adams, particularly after last year. Of course, 2 years ago, Adams Central was able to beat them in the playoffs. But South Adams has been able to do it with smoke and mirrors, quite frankly, through the first half of the season because of the guys that they're missing, both the graduation and to injury. They ran into a team that was able to expose them last week, even though it was a close game. They weren't able to score. First time since 2015, South Adams was held scoreless. And that Adams Central team on all three phases of football is better than Monroe Central. So on paper, this is Adams Central by a sizable margin. But if South Adams can create some turnovers, make some big plays, and Adams Central isn't locked in mentally, maybe this is a game going into the second half. But quite frankly, it's difficult to see if Adams Central is firing on all cylinders.
I'm just going to say this real quick, Justin, and I don't need a comment. I just want to make sure to get this off my chest because I said last week on the postgame show that I was tired of the NECC beating me up on my high school football picks of the week. I mean, I've got like 12 losses all year long, and I think six of them are because I keep picking Angola and Fairfield. They play each other this week, and I am staying completely away from it. Don't expect to get that result from me on my high school football picks this week because I am bitter. I'm holding a grudge, and so I will not pick your game. So there you go. I just had to get that off my chest.
It's difficult. Angola and Fairfield, you expect to be better, and you throw Lakeland in there that seems to be a threat to win every week, and Cherubusco and Garrett. I mean, yeah. It's a hodgepodge, and, yeah, definitely is the toughest league to pick outside of Eastside.
Yeah, so Hornets and Falcons, you're not going to get your game this week because you both have just let me down too often, not going to pick you. All right, that's it for us, Justin. We look forward to tomorrow's High School Football Coaches Show. You'll be in here at 6 o'clock to host it. Always appreciate you jumping on with us.
All right, buddy. See you tomorrow.
Yep, Justin Kenny on our Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline.
Podcasts by Federated Media.